This podcast is the sermon for the first Sunday of Advent, November 29th, 2020, by the Reverend Eric Williams. You can learn more about St. Philip's Church at stpfeeds.org.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We are living, as the Chinese proverb says, in interesting times. Interesting times that are full of dread and difficulty and challenge, and also and at the same time, full of hope. I've been reading recently, as I'm sure you have, about the wonderful news of the earliest vaccines that have come through the early trials. Pfizer's, vaccine was proved to be over 90% effective in the early trials. And then Moderna, 95%. And then AstraZeneca in Oxford, another 90%. And there are more vaccines in the pipeline. This is incredible news. It's actually unprecedented to have a new virus that hits the world, let's say last December, and within 1 year to have vaccines that will be rolled out for use and prove to be effective. That has never before been done. It's the moonshot of epidemiological science and gives us, I think, a great deal of hope. I've been reading about these stories with great excitement. I mean, the stock market kind of went crazy on some of that news, a kind of ebullience, a kind of a overwhelming joy as we've been waiting and waiting and hoping for just that news. And yet, we aren't there yet. We haven't received these vaccines. We are seeing right now the fastest growth of coronavirus yet. It is a very ominous and difficult time. As we have celebrated Thanksgiving and as we look forward to Christmas, we are still the people that are walking in darkness. And so I think it's really interesting for us to be living this moment liturgically as well. Because the season of Advent is all about this exact journey. We hear every Advent the words of Isaiah, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." Advent is the time of expectant waiting for the coming of Christ. And it's the coming of the infant Jesus at Christmas, that wonderful celebration that we have every year of the birth of Jesus. I think the high point for most people in the church life, in the church year, is Christmas, because we're so full of this joy and warmth around Christmas. But Advent is also looking forward to the coming of Christ in glory, to judge the world, to bring about the full realization of the reign of God. And that's what our lessons are about today. They are looking forward to that wonderful and terrifying day when God will envelop the world, the creation, in this new reign and bring about the fullness of God's plan and purpose for all of us. That looking ahead is always full of a little anxiety, isn't it? As much as we hope for good news, we also know that the day of the Lord, at least in the Bible, is full of such tumult and change that it can upend the comfortable realizations of our life. The things that we have kind of counted on may not be there. The social order, the political order, the economic order, all of that is kind of up for grabs in this time of change. There's always jokes about Episcopalians. In fact, every denomination has this, but, you know, the jokes like, how many Episcopalians does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer is change. Or how many Episcopalians does it take to change a light bulb? It takes five. It takes one to change the light bulb and four to stand around and complain about how much nicer the old light bulb was. You get the idea. Change is not easy for us. Even when life is not great, we get used to it. We get accustomed to the way things are, and any change to the status quo is a little bit scary. And so as we look forward in this time of darkness and coronavirus, we look forward to the new future. What are we looking forward to? Is it that we can just go back to the comfort of the way things were? Or is it that things might not be exactly the way things were? There might be some new habits and patterns. I know churches and all kinds of institutions are wondering, will we be as strong? Will we have everything that we had before? Will our people come back? Will our programs come back? What will be new? What will be different? What will be the same? What can we count on in the midst of this uncertainty and anxiety and change? The prophets call us in Advent to embrace change. Embrace change that is brought about by God. John the Baptist will be telling us in the next two Sundays to prepare ourselves. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare for that. These prophets invite us to a kind of radical trust that the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who made us, the God who brought Jesus into this world, the God who is preparing for this reign is the God we must put our trust in, the only constant, the only place that we can have true faith. And that's tough. That's a leap of faith for us because we like the security and stability of the lives that we have made. We like having control over our lives, even if that control is only an illusion. The call of Advent, I think, is to live into this uncertain future with hope. Hope is the word of Advent, I think. Hope in God's wonderful creation and God's wonderful and even more wonderful salvation. Hope, even when life right now looks dark, hope that the light is just over the horizon. Hope that when we are living through skyrocketing cases of coronavirus, that the vaccine is just around the corner. That's what it means to live in hope, to have endurance, because without hope, we can't have endurance. Without hope, we live in a very small and inwardly focused and negative way. But with hope, we can embrace the uncertainty of the future. And one of the prophets of hope for me this Advent is somebody that I never expected in a gazillion years to be that kind of prophet. And of course, I'm talking about Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton, the wonderful country western singer who was born into terrible poverty, had tons of siblings and just a terrible struggle financially for her growing up, worked her way through the Nashville scene to become one of the most popular singers and songwriters and performers and personalities in America, who created her own theme park. I mean, how many people could have their own theme park named after themselves, and yet has not been a person that was all about herself and her ego, but has found ways to continue to give back. I learned that, I don't know, a couple decades ago, she started a program in her town to make sure that every child had a book, and that program has grown to be, I think, nationwide. She has been about caring in small ways and large for people. And so it was Dolly Parton who back, I think in April, I learned, and I didn't hear about this at the time, gave $1 million to a university that was partnering with Moderna, the smallest of the companies that's developing a vaccine. Dolly Parton saw the need for us to have hope and put her money where it could do good. And thanks to her efforts, among all the scientists and corporations and the government is allowing us now to see some of that hope almost fulfilled. Dolly Parton, for me, is a sign that we can act even in the midst of waiting, that our waiting is not a passive kind of waiting, but our waiting in this Advent, our waiting as Christians for the reign of God, must be an active waiting that is seeking to do as much good as we can where we are while we can, as we anticipate the full realization of God's plan and reign on earth. So as we hear the prophets this Advent season, as we try to take time to be with God, as we immerse ourselves in scripture and silence and prayer, let's focus not so much on the darkness that can be overwhelming, but on the light that draws us further and deeper into the love and mystery and reign of God. And let's commit ourselves to wait with hope, to act with hope, to live with hope in the God who called us and made us and loved us and redeemed us and is inviting us into this amazing, uncertain, anxious, and ultimately glorious future. Amen.